Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
What was that song from the Taxi?
L-L-L-L-L-Steppo.
What was that even for?
From the Taxi in Japan.
Yeah, but like what?
The product? I don't know.
That was like my favorite thing to do in Japan, like whenever you'd be in the cab or whenever you have a TV on, just try to guess what the commercial actually is for.
Yeah, I couldn't get it like half the time. I was trying to figure it out and then it would always surprise me in the end.
They have really good jingles out there. And I also realized like
it gets stuck in your head.
At certain, every station or every like train station, like the city ones, all
you can
have
put your,
their
you can
own
put your cup down.
They all have their own.
He's like doing the reach around drink.
I forgot that it said this. that every station had its own like theme song.
Yeah,
which is kind of cool.
My ring finger has been numb for the past 3 days.
That's happened to me before.
But for 3 days?
Yeah.
I
had like two fingers go numb for like a week, and then
Heard it though.
No, just I randomly.
Is it because I'm not getting enough vitamins or like magnesium or something? Like what?
Poor circulation.
I've had like sometimes it feels like pins and needles at the tips of my fingers. Like
okay,
sometimes
all right.
It's like I can't feel that, or it just feels like I don't know, like I have like thorns in them.
Okay, that's what it's been feeling like. I thought I had to go to the like I was gonna wait for another day, but this is the other day and it's still numb.
You're okay.
Okay. All right. So I'm good.
You'll be fine.
I thought it was like cancerous.
Did you
see I thought I was dying.
Did you see the TikTok about that girl who had a salad that was like dressed up with like edible flowers and stuff on it? And she was eating it and she felt it like poke her cheek and she was like, ow, that really like hurt my cheek. Like the stem of it hurt her cheek. She kept feeling like it was still in there. She went to like multiple oral surgeons. They were like, I don't know. I just feel like it's just been agitated. And then like 3 weeks later, she's like, a whole fucking like thorn comes out of her cheek and it had been in there the entire time.
From so they weren't salad. Edible?
It was just, yeah.
Just some thorn portion of it?
Yeah, like a damn stem. And it's just, imagine having that in you and then like,
It's like getting a fat splinter and just feeling it in there. It's like the worst feeling, just knowing annoying. Something.
That's
is
why
in.
I don't eat salads on the off chance that
yeah.
I get a thorn in there.
Stick with cupcakes. You will not find
that's what I'm saying.
Cupcakes.
It's
absolutely
true.
Not.
How are y'all feeling?
Dude, so jet lagged.
I've had the worst jet lag I've ever felt in my entire life.
Like everybody talks about jet lag, but I've never been like, oh, this is what that is. And I get it now.
Like jet lag, I thought, like to me, jet lag was just like, oh, you're just sleepy. You're tired from traveling. What I felt in the past couple of days was truly jet lag.
Yes, I feel like I've been my whole, like I thought like, oh, I'll time it out. I'll take a nap. I'll get in sync. No, I've had weird spurts where I'll be asleep for 10 hours.
Yeah,
and then so I'm strange. Up for a little bit and I need to sleep again.
And I'm getting weird dreams. I'm getting weird nightmares. I'm like seeing shit like while I'm like, it's really
not like, side effects at all.
Like, I think my body's just at an all time like low just from the traveling and everything.
I feel foggy.
Oh yeah, right. We're complaining about.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have a very, very long and
we have a lot of ground to cover.
Yeah, a lot of ground to cover. But what's the word I was about to say?
Exciting.
Treacherous.
Not exciting. It was more once there's a lot of something.
Jam packed.
We have a jam packed episode today. So let's get right into the intro.
All right, baby. Let's do it.
All right. And a three. And a two. And a three. Two. One.
It's Kabuto, baby.
Woo! Konnichiwa.
Arigato.
Oh,
arigato.
Ow! Welcome back. We're just Japanese the whole time.
Konnichiwa.
Welcome back to Zane and Heath Unfiltered. I'm Zane. I was ready for Matt to say, I thought you were
going to say it in Japanese. I didn't learn that.
I thought I would. What?
It's like watashi. Isn't that I? Like
watashi? Watashi Zane?
Latasha said, we may be so wrong on that. I don't even want to say it. But konbanwa, good evening, or Ohio, whatever time of day you're listening to this. And then
I'm Heath.
I'm Matt.
I'm Mariah.
And we are Unfiltered. Thank you so much for coming to another episode. Before we start this jam-packed episode, tomorrow is going to be Heath's birthday.
Woo!
We want to give you a special something to start the episode.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Heath.
We decided to do cupcakes instead of a cake because we always usually eat the whole cake. So I thought it'd be smarter just to get the cupcake so we each had a little piece of cupcake. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there we go. Zane, put your party hat on, huh?
He's 30.
Okay. There we go. Making that wish.
Thank you guys. Thank you so much. That was really sweet.
Before we start, I wanted to give you a little pre-birthday gift.
Do you have a present for me?
Yeah, from me. Shit. It's actually in my pants.
Oh,
let me pull it out.
Save it. Wait,
it really is in your pants.
Whoa!
Soaking wet.
Yeah, it's soaking wet. I'm a swamp ass already in the front.
it's my lost JR pass.
Oh gosh.
Here, Matt, film this for me. This for me, so I'm not filming myself. Okay.
You can open it.
Come on, just take it. It's clean. I'm clean. I just showered.
All right, here we
go. You're gonna want to see this.
Yeah, you're.
It's another trip to Japan.
Oh boy.
We're going?
Well
so we're too.
Well, wait, before you get too excited, we're not going to the actual. It's like a
Zane, why don't you tell us what Heath is looking at? Just to clarify.
So, why don't you read it? I think you read it exactly what it says.
This is the Grand Prix of Long Beach. It's going to be April 14th to the 16th.
Yeah.
Whoa. That's a car race, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's the 14th?
Oh, we get to ride in them?
Yep.
It says the 14th?
Is it the 4th?
Girl, what does it say on there?
The top of it says April 14th to 16th.
Okay,
then here it says the 4th.
Okay, so we're not going obviously to the 14th. We're not going to the actual race because we're at Coachella. We're going to the pre.
Got it. Okay. Fun. So this is on the 4th, the day before my birthday.
Yes.
We get to ride in an Indy car driven by one of the pros.
Yes.
Whoa. And
we get to hop into a pace car after, and then go into Formula Drift cars.
Whoa, Zane, very good gift.
Shut up, Matt. Shut up.
Cool. This is really sick.
Zane, when he got the email, goes, Leah, pull up that Grand Prix email. I'm like, did you just say Grand Prix?
Wow, sick.
It's going to be all day on April 4th, so
that's fine.
Hope you had nothing booked.
I don't.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Of course.
That's pretty sick.
Where's your gift, Matt?
I just added it to my to-do list.
Yeah, because didn't even realize it was his birthday for
Matt,
the podcast.
Matt walked in and goes, there's a birthday coming up?
Yeah, he goes, is it? Whose birthday is it? Whose birthday? What's Mariah's? It's today? No, it's today.
You know what?
It's okay, Matt. We all forget.
Our phones, we all had everyone's birthdays in there. I feel like back in the Facebook days, everyone knew. Also, we had a lot of really good matcha in Japan, but nothing topped the Kurumoda matcha.
Thank you.
Can I just say that?
Well, to be fair, we do get our matcha from Japan, so it's still Japanese matcha.
It's Japanese matcha, pretty much.
Oh, okay.
But it is better.
Thank you. It's really good.
Again, you could go to Kurumoda.com and get yourself a Kremacha starter pack. You'll get everything to make matcha.
All the doodads.
Exactly.
all the jam packs.
All the jam packed stuff in the starter pack.
This starter pack is jam.
Okay.
But before we get started, I want to say thank you, both of you, from the bottom of my heart for the incredible experience that we had in Japan. It truly was one of the best gifts I've ever received, and I want to say thank you.
Take care of you guys. You guys have been doing a lot for us, so.
This is going to be a very long episode. We have a lot of ground to cover.
So girdle your loins and pump those brakes.
You're not going to want to go anywhere.
Or our worst episode.
We never get into it.
keep stalling. I don't want to say it yet because I feel like this is like the most exciting thing that's happened to us in a very long time. So I kind of want to drag it out.
There's just so much ground to cover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did we enjoy the flight experience? I think it was a pretty smooth time. Oh, everyone got there on time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got our seats. We watched our movies. We ate our food.
And the whole airport experience I felt like was so smooth. It was more smooth flying international to Japan than flying to like New York.
So honestly, okay. Yes, I agree.
I think what helped was getting there 3 hours early.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
because normally we would show up super late and like the lines are packed. I think we like beat the traffic of most people trying to board.
Yeah.
And it was just like there was no line to wait to check our bags or anything because we were there before everybody.
But we didn't go like too early though. I felt like we still left at like a reasonable time.
I just think they have a much better system and flow and they're just much more considerate. And
that's true.
I will also say one thing that helped with that was us having a separate line.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Helped a lot because we had the business class and like the other line was definitely much longer.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely,
but it was very, very smooth. And then when we first got through, we decided to take our currency and do the exchange before the flight because I was like, it's probably going to be packed by the time we get there. Like, let's just
get it done.
Be proactive about it. And we met this lady, Lorna, who was the sweetest person in the world and was just like giving us like a bunch of like tips and pointers.
But man, did it take 45 minutes to get our phone.
She could chat.
She thought we were so funny.
Yeah, we had her rolling.
Thank God there was no line because imagine there was maybe three people in front of us. We wouldn't have even made our flight.
Yeah,
with an hour and a half to kill.
She loves her job.
Oh, but she got us all worked up. We were in a panic the whole trip because when she gave us the money, she put it in an envelope and we were getting ready to put away. And she's like, don't fold it though. And we're like, she was like, you can't fold the Japanese currency.
It has to be
crisp or they won't accept it. So we babied this envelope for literally like putting it into our backpack, sliding it. But by the end of the trip, we were like,
it's tough though, because keeping it straight, you have to have long pockets. We got to keep in our bag. In my head, I'm like, how are Japanese people walking around with straight crispy dollars in their pockets?
Their pockets are extra long.
It also like if you, it can be still on the curve of your wallet. It's long as it's not like folded.
Oh, you see,
like a hard crease. That's right. Where they're like, no, but it can have like a bend.
So
to it.
Interesting. Well, I think we did a pretty good job.
We ended up like taking a little bit out at a time and putting it in the wallet and then using that and didn't have a problem anywhere.
And that's a great place to start. Also is the, it was crazy how much bang for your buck you get in Japan.
Yeah.
The drinks we bought, the food we bought, I could not believe.
And it was totally unexpected. It was totally unexpected too, because she told us that everything was going to be very expensive there. So in our head, we pulled out more cash. We're like, okay, we got to make sure it's already an expensive trip. We have to really watch out what we spend out there.
She also told us everywhere was cash only.
Yeah.
You know what? Now that I think about it, she lied out of her ass to it.
No, that was a big exaggeration because I hardly.
It was a big exaggeration, but there were quite a. It was like going to Mexico. There's a lot of places that don't take cards, they take cash. So we just like prepared.
It was nice to have the cash.
Yeah, it was nice. And then we get on our giant plane. I've never seen a bigger plane than the plane that we were in.
Yeah,
it was pretty massive. A bigger plane? Yeah. It was huge. The engine was next to me. I was so scared. One little thing, that big ass engine was right next to my face. I was so scared.
I did get pretty scared on that flight. Whenever I'm flying over massive bodies of water,
it is,
like
yeah,
that's
it is
where
scary.
I'm like, oh my God, there is nothing.
I felt much more safe in a big plane than I do in a little plane.
Oh, though. Absolutely.
I feel like if we go down, at least I've got like more cushion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
but I also would rather like crash land in the body of water than
I would
land,
rather do water.
Right?
Than land too.
That just seems like.
I'm land all day.
No, because land, I feel like you're dead. Water, there's a little.
Right. Can you add to that?
I just can't deal with
water,
the panic.
Water, there's
of
a little
every...
bit of flex.
Think about when the plane's going down, though. The first thing they do is look for a piece of land like to land on. Because if you go down in the middle of the water, it's like, then what?
You take the slide and the boats.
And then what?
Like the Titanic.
Be a while though out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean for anybody to come.
Oh no, you wouldn't make it.
I guess I'm just comparing it to the guy that landed in the Hudson and everybody survived.
Nice.
It's all right.
Wait, did a balloon pop?
No, it just floated away. We all float down here, Johnny.
I've always wanted to be, I don't want to jinx myself, but in an experience where you get to see everybody rush off of a plane at once and try to get through one door. Or a bus. So I
want to... You want to do that?
Not that I want to. I just want to see how everybody reacts in that situation and how quickly and proficiently everybody gets off.
In the moment, I think it'd be a chaos.
I think it's every man for themselves. Elbow and just like absolutely pushing.
Every man for himself, as in like you, like whoever you're with, whoever you're traveling with, that's your main priority. Yeah. Fuck everybody else. Somebody needs help behind you getting out of the seatbelt. We got our babies. Let's go.
The duty of the flight attendants is to maintain a sense of order and calm amongst their passengers. And
it's crazy how they will stay calm until their demise.
Jesus.
No, seriously. Like listening to like those, it's crazy how they all really keep their calm until the end. I think that's like they crazy strength and bravery to like be in that state.
So we land.
Hold on, no, we did a whole breakdown. We went day by day to make sure
we did a whole breakdown.
I did like on the plane though that you could choose between the different cuisines. You could either get started and go Japanese cuisine or international cuisine. Like on the way there, I went international.
They looked the same.
I wasn't ready.
Oh, and no Wi-Fi. So if you're flying to Japan, just be prepared for no Wi-Fi.
They had it, and we all paid for it, and it went out in 5 minutes.
It was like $20.
$20, no refund.
You can't. I think you can still say that you didn't get any Wi-Fi, and
we did though.
You did.
Yeah, because every 5 minutes we'd when they walk by, hey, the Wi-Fi's out.
Oh no, but I think if you email the place, like I've done that on American Airlines flights.
I think when the Wi-Fi is out, they should just refund everybody that bought the Wi-Fi.
Yeah,
like immediately. Like they shouldn't have to wait for you to like email you.
They should know that it was off.
But yeah. But like, I feel like everything was pretty good. We landed, we got to the airport, and the first thing we noticed as we were walking through the airport are these yellow lines that I hated.
Did you notice that too, or did it piss you off?
On the ground?
On the ground, those yellow ridges.
Yeah.
And you have to literally...
Ridges and bumps.
Yeah. What is the purpose of those yellow lines?
Is it for blind?
That's what I always thought.
He thought it was for rolling bags.
I thought it was either for the blind or like to keep your bags from rolling away.
I think it's blind because it's on like a path. Like it looks like a yellow brick road. So it's leading you to the right spot.
Because everything was square. Like it's not really.
I thought it was like, or it was pedestrian flow of traffic. They want you to stay in this area and not be on this side. Like they almost were navigating us around.
Like maybe we weren't supposed to cross over.
Yeah.
But at first we didn't know. We didn't know the system. So we were just rolling through every yellow.
It was like going off road. We needed like a suspension on the bottom of these suitcases.
But not until like the end of the trip, we finally realized that there's little gaps that have like the circular bumps.
Those are worse.
No, those are easy. You could easily go over those. And I realized that like you're supposed to be like going in those to keep the traffic.
Yellow rubber ridges floor Japan. Type it in.
But like after the trip, I still didn't really understand how it helps.
That's the first article right there. Okay. In Japan, yellow raised groove lines are a form of street braille to help the blind.
Blind. I feel like an asshole now.
It messed my suitcase.
Honestly, I think it's amazing. And I think it's smart, the ingenuity.
We have that in America, usually at like ends of crosswalks, just not in the middle of the sidewalk guiding you all the way through.
Guys, honestly, I didn't notice that anywhere else but the airport or the train stations.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even notice
that. This could be stupid, but I wonder if the blind rate is higher in Japan because it was in the hotels, on the streets, it was everywhere.
Even in front of the elevator, they had the...
Random spots because we have them at intersections on the sidewalk, to stop if the street is there. And maybe we'll have it on the elevator, like the braille, but this was... everywhere, restaurants,
I think they just
bars.
Go above and beyond.
Yeah, I think they're just very accommodating. Yeah,
that's the thing about Japan is they had figured out like every problem and like had a solution to it. Everything down from like the guardrails that would go up and down before you would board trains.
That was the best.
Umbrella things that you would stick it because you would stick your umbrella in a thing that would put a cover on the umbrella.
I love that.
I
loved it when it dried your umbrella too. There's two
it's
different
such
ones that they had.
A simple thing, but when you finally use it, you're like, wow, every place could use one
and
of these.
And the fact that it was
it's
at
so
every single store.
It's so easy. Yeah.
Genius.
It's like, I don't know why New York hasn't done it. New York, that's like the second.
Because they don't know how they would make money off of it. Yeah. Everything is made for profit in America.
Like, I know. I noticed Japan is all about the people.
Yeah,
that's true.
They're all about protecting each other and keeping their city clean, and they're proud.
What was so wild? So the moment like we landed, we get out in the city and we see it and it's full. It is crazy for being the most populated city in the world, and you do not hear anybody honking their horn.
Crazy.
None. There, not once.
Matt, I'm not gonna lie. I think I heard it maybe twice the entire time we were there. There's no honking.
It was just our one driver going through that skinny, skinny little aisle. Yeah.
That was crazy.
But dude, it's really like, it's because everybody respects each other out there.
Yeah.
It's that easy.
Yeah.
There's such like a decency and also just a level of just quietness among like the people too.
Yeah. And you know what? I think we all learned how to just be a little quieter throughout the whole trip too.
Yeah. Definitely coming out of it, I feel like I noticed a lot of things that we could change about ourselves.
Oh,
especially in public.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Everybody there is Japanese. Like, we didn't see anybody else out there. I probably saw a few Americans walking around.
Yeah. But like I saw a lot in Tokyo.
I feel like 99% of the people I saw around there were 100% Japanese.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like it's monoculturalism like out there. Like we're from America. We're a country made up of other countries out there.
Exactly.
Like, that's why like Japan is just so Japanese.
Yeah.
Like, it truly is that.
And how clean.
Yeah. As soon as we got off that first train, when we got into Shinjuku, walking through that train station was spotless.
Yeah.
Like, I could have licked the floor.
Comparing that to like being in New York, it was...
There was no smells.
And
which is wild how clean it was, but there's no trash cans hardly
anywhere.
In Japan, you have to be prepared that you're going to have a bag of like just trash.
I didn't wait till you get home.
We heard about no trash cans and I expected it going into it. And I was like, this is going to be fun. Like everybody is responsible for their own trash. I was like, this is cool. And I, like the first few days I was like, you know, I got empty bottles in my backpack. I'll toss it out when I see it. But then it got to the point where I was like, I need a trash can. Like, I got to unload. So like, it was very few and far between. But
like, because I feel like the reason why nobody has that problem ever is because when people buy a drink, they drink it right there and then, and then they throw it in the trash.
Yes.
They're not walking around with drinking.
Like a big rule is you realized you would never see anybody walking around eating something. Like it's a freaking carnival. If anybody bought something, they go over and like hover in the corner and eat. And another thing, there were no hoodlums like anywhere.
No,
there was but it was like also homelessness hardly any out there.
Yeah.
And if you saw a homeless person, they kept it tidy and neat.
Oh, unbelievable.
We saw a homeless man under this tunnel. He was mopping his ground.
Yeah.
With a Swiffer.
His whole area was he had a blanket down and then he had like a pad on top of it, but like it looked like he had tidy. OCD, like how tidy it was. It was perfectly placed. He was on top of it. He had his drinks lined up next to him on the side, labels facing outward, like super clean. And then there was another one down there mopping the area, like cleaning it up. I was like, this is incredible.
He kept his space cleaner than most people I've seen in a house.
Yes.
Oh,
it was unbelievable. I remember us walking by that and we couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it was insane.
But it just added to just everybody just being on the same page and being clean and being respectful.
Just self-respect and respect for others.
Very eye-opening.
And then, you know, there was hardly any homeless, but like, I also never felt like sketched out anywhere. I was expecting like turning around somewhere and being like, all right, I got to get out of here. Yeah. Like these people like this. I never felt like anybody had like evil energy. Like just like, where's the fear?
And that's kind of scary. Every time you go to any new country, you just always think, I always think about that.
You think the worst.
I don't know. Like, What if we go to a sketchy neighborhood? What are the I don't want to say the word gangs, but like every place has like a group of just bad people that like want and you just never know if you're going to be in that area or you're going to run into those type of people. I watch a lot of movies too.
Oh, yeah.
And I love those movies. So I think I like always think about that shit. Always think of the worst. I truly felt like I could have slept on the floor. Like I really could have just.
That's why people do it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't hear people talking about like, hey, when you go to Japan, be careful. Watch out for pickpocketers. Keep your bag closed.
Yes.
You didn't have to worry about anything like that. I felt safe everywhere.
I noticed I saw a lot of kids walking around without their parents. Like there was a little girl on the train. And I saw on TikTok, somebody was talking about how kids just go to and from the big city. And it used to be like that in Manhattan, like way back in the day. But of course, you would never do that now. But they say that the citizens of Japan, they feel like it's their job to protect children.
Yeah.
So people just let their kids roam. They take the subway by themselves. They walk around like the main part of the city and they're fine.
What a breath of fresh air knowing that you can trust your like community and your people around you.
Exactly. Here it's like awesome. Every man for himself or like, what can I get out of you?
We were just talking about every man for himself on the flight. If it went down.
Right.
Where's the sense? We need to be more like that.
I know. I truly wish everybody in America could go to Japan and just like, it kind of makes you feel a little scummy. Like we're like, 100%. They're perfect.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And they're so nice.
And another thing I noticed too, that the way they treat foreigners, anybody that's like not like them.
Oh my gosh.
The amount of patience.
So sweet. The patience.
The patience is unbelievable. Like
you could have picked, afraid to ask questions to anybody. We could have picked anybody on the street and they would have walked with us.
They treat you like a guest in your house. Like they treat Japan as their house and it's a guest.
Everybody was
in.
So kind.
And you also don't feel like almost like a touristy sheep being in Japan. A lot of big countries and big destinations in the world, a lot of people will go visit like Paris, Rome and everything. Those are all big like touristy destinations where like the moment you get off, you are the city is almost catering you.
Yeah.
Being like, hey,
there was no
Here. You're here to come do these things. It was very just like, welcome. You're now part of
the flow. You're a part of the family.
You're part of the flow here. Get with it. And you feel like you get to discover almost Japan on your own rather than it just being force fed down. Like you're giving kind of the drive through tourist experience.
Yeah.
That's what was so beautiful, I think, too, about it.
And then it made you realize how we treat them so much differently in America. I feel like when foreign people come here, nobody wants to just give them the time of day. Nobody has the patience. Nobody wants to help them out. Because, you know, you'll see them on the street and like, you know, it's such a big language barrier. And a lot of people, I feel like a lot of people just don't even want to like take the time to help them. And it made me realize how much we don't actually help foreign people just with simple shit, around.
The biggest two words I heard coming out of everybody's mouth was I'm sorry and thank you the entire time.
That was us because that's all we knew.
if we asked them a question and they didn't have an answer immediately and they were helping us figure it out, they'd be like, I'm so sorry. I'm going to help you. I'm so sorry. And we're like
it was their fault.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we went into that Bic camera in the
which one?
Right. I know the one
that was, we were the first people to walk in it and we entered the department store.
Oh yes.
And all of the greeters were in their section. It was like they had just opened up the store for us.
Yeah.
And we walked by and everyone bowed.
It was like we walked into like the temple. Like it was just the amount of respect that they had us walking through that.
They were all like, so it was like different individual stores within the department store. And they were just standing right at the front of their own section and just like welcoming as we would walk by, just everybody greeting you. And it was just like such a great start to the trip. I think that was the first place we went to pretty much.
And while you're the first one at Dillard's or Bloomingdale, they're just like, it was such a crazy difference seeing that.
There was like a nobility to everybody's profession in Japan. Like if you're a car driver, like you are the best car driver out there. In America, it's like, driving a car is a side hustle out here.
Yes.
Like,
everything's
they're a side job. Everyone takes pride in their job and what they do.
Which is also amazing because there is no tipping.
Yeah.
And they still go above and beyond for
all we wanted to do was
like,
give a
tip. Not fighting for a tip and like being really accommodating to get a tip. They're just doing it because it's their job and they're proud.
And we were wondering if like, because tipping is like disrespectful. It's kind of like a low thing to do in their eyes. I think that's what I read. But Heath and I were wondering if you did want to give, is it more
it seems like you're doing a charity.
Is it charity? It's almost like you're telling them, they need the money.
Like, you could use this. That's right? What they feel. I feel like that's what they feel like.
So they must all be getting paid extremely decent. Enough. Where like enough where they yeah. need they can pay their bills. Well, it's and pay
not
for
like
their-
it's not like a waitress or a waiter out here that gets paid below minimum wage
and works on tips
and then have and to work yeah. on tips. Their salary is normal out there and they don't depend on the tips.
Yeah,
you right. know
exactly.
But what's really interesting, our friend out there told us about like people who work at McDonald's. Like that's not frowned upon out there.
Yeah, no.
Like if they go through like an insane rigorous training to be able to work at McDonald's, and if you have that on your resume, people see that and they're like, "Wow, you worked at McDonald's. You passed. Like you went through the test to do that. Like it's a really good look."
And I like that. I like that. Like for every job, it's like it's meaning. Like it's still a job. You yeah. know what I mean? And that's how they treat it.
So cool.
It what else that was interesting is like the cabs out there were like some were like new, some were old, but they were in the best condition. Yes.
They had automatic ever. Doors.
Automatic doors was insane to me.
I don't get how the top of the line Rolls Royce out here has an automatic door that opens with a push button and closes with a button, but their baseline like taxis 90s. Out there, just box taxis.
And it's yeah. and you realize how convenient that automatic door is.
Yeah.
It,
so nice. Yeah.
It makes it so much quicker to get people out and in. Like it
also spreads like, less germs and stuff.
Exactly.
Too.
And I feel like they're actually able to do more rides, like probably like 4 to 5 more rides a day
yeah.
with those automatic doors, just yeah. because it's also like very inviting too. It's like you pull up,
yeah,
you
boom,
have to pull the window down. If you're available to pick that person up, boom, that door opens. It's like so right easy. There invitation.
I loved the taxi system out there.
Me I thought too. It was thought it was so much fun.
Just you get in, all the taxis, all the seats are lined in this beautiful white lace,
uh-huh.
and you're just like, wow, this is nice. Up on the dash, like in the roof, is an air quality meter. That shows you how good the air quality is. The guy's driving with one glove and you're just like, bro, what? I felt like I was a James Bond in a backseat.
No, what you felt was dirty as fuck. I felt dirty going in that because I was like, oh, okay, this taxi.
I don't qualify for this.
Normally taxis are dirty. You go to New York, disgusting.
Yeah.
Like you see gum in the seat and all. This one, they wash, I think they remove their seats every day yeah. and pressure wash it because it felt, and it smelled, did you smell the seat?
Everything smelled good.
It smelled like cherry blossom. It just smelled so good.
I know.
When even, like, dude, even when people, like, I just feel like their sweat smells beautiful. Like they I didn't feel one stink in the air.
Nobody smelled.
Yeah.
Not one whiff of bad air.
Nobody had body odor. No.
I think the only whiff of air that we got was bad when I farted in the hotel room. Like swear to God, these people don't fart. They don't.
I had to get used to, I kept forgetting to put the money in that little tray.
Yeah.
Oh,
I was so like, oops, I'm sorry.
You don't give them the money directly to their hands. They put a tray. You put the money in the tray and then they grab the tray.
And what did Shota say exactly why? Because it's, you put the dollar amount higher. What was it that he said exactly why they don't? You don't hand dollars straight to their hand. You have to put it down because it's like a form of
etiquette. Or?
Well, that's another thing too. Like if there's a respect in the way you talk to somebody that's older than you, it's like a respect your elder type thing.
And also it's more successful. I think
and
successful
it's, and it's
too.
Like in business and somebody who holds more power than you, you do things at a sign of respect. So if you were to meet Jeff Bezos, whoever, somebody
or
like a
to
big,
us, Matt, right. Like you to us.
So, yeah. And business, business card culture out there. If I was going to give my card to Jeff Bezos, I would do it lower and he would give it higher.
What?
As a sign of like respect. Like I know where I am so in this conversation.
I know where right. I stand.
You would give it, you would present it in a lower manner. But, and then you could also, there's like ways of showing disrespect on purpose. Like if you were going to do business and you were equal and you wanted to assert dominance, you would give it higher on purpose to be like, I am.
This is a place to put your cash to pay without having to directly touch the other person and causing any awkward atmosphere.
Ooh, like hand to hand. Like maybe it's like an awkward, like.
Yeah.
I was handing my cash with like the coins on top and my coins fell over and then went into my drink.
Oh, well, and that's why they have the tray. Yeah.
Oh, when I was at Big Camera, so Big Camera was basically, I think about it like a mega department store that has fucking everything from like
it's
technology.
Best Buy, Publix,
to like clocks.
Everything.
And I wanted to go see the toilets because I just heard like if you go to like a section where they sell toilets, toilets.
Yeah.
That there's like so many different types. You can see all the different types of bidets. And I was like, can I go see the toilets? The toilets. I want to see the toilets.
Yeah.
The woman walked me right to the bathroom. And I was like, no, the toilets. And all the employees thought it was so funny that I was purposely asking to see the toilets.
And it's cute because they find a lot of things funny. They reminded me of me because I find a lot of things funny.
Yeah.
And I felt like they found everything funny.
They thought
funny.
We were so funny.
I think just like they just find the joy in everything. Yeah, and that's they why just they just are laughing.
Genuinely happier.
I could be there for a very long time. I wouldn't probably make a lot of friends out there, but I think just like being in that atmosphere, it just felt so nice. And I feel like you probably become a better person being there for a good amount of time.
You did become better people.
I know. Like I 1 week was like not enough to see it. Like there's so much more.
Oh yeah. That big, if you're going to Japan, you definitely have to minimum 2 weeks.
Just
do not go for a week.
It's not going to be your last time going to Japan.
I already want to go back so bad.
Yeah.
Same.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
I was going to try to go by the timeline because the timeline is just so funny
our
whole trip. That because I know that the first night we got back to the hotel, right?
We checked into the hotel and then we went out on a Ichiran ramen run.
Because Matt really wanted to go there. It
which
was like
Ichiran,
first...
there's like two in the United States. There's like one, I think, in Brooklyn and one in Midtown. But like Ichiran is like their quintessential like top tier main chain of ramen. That's like won all like the awards and everything. It's the most perfected recipe. Just delicious. And they have it like in like tiny little booths, each one.
Yeah.
They
want you get like a cubby.
They want you to focus on the taste.
Yeah. And that was like our very first like place that we ate at, right? So we were like, we didn't know what to expect going in there. It was like, are we going to get seated? Are we going to have to? And so we walk in, it's really tiny. There's two machines. And I remember we were having such a hard time picking what to eat because they only had one ramen pretty much, but we were so confused.
It was like the options were like traditional or classic. And I was like, what's the difference?
But wait, the pictures
I went to Matt. I was like, Matt, what's the difference? He goes, well, one's traditional and one's classic.
Well, I realized it was just because
thank you so much.
The traditional one added four more extra things of pork and then two things of seaweed.
And that's what I noticed too. And I told her, I was like, right, there's just four extra things. And she didn't get it because it's crazy that there's two different dishes. One just has four more ingredients in it. Why don't they just have one where you just make your own every time.
The pictures were the same.
Yeah.
But that was just the American one though. It's like they don't have the machine. They just have that one card and they give it to you. Like
you pick what you want and then they also give you like a piece of paper and you circle like your spice level if you want to add any extra ingredients or if how thick you want the noodles, like the texture.
On the sheet of paper where we circled our shit, I was so scared. Was anybody going exactly the outline? Because
they had the recommended.
I felt like if I didn't do the outline, they just weren't going to do it.
Yeah. recommended, yeah.
But it was really cool because you get your own like little cubby thing.
And you don't see your server. They don't see you.
It's, there's the little...
like little blinds.
It's like a blind.
Yeah, that comes down and you just see like their legs walking back behind
them. I felt like I was on an episode of the Powerpuff Girls with that tall lady with the short hair.
Right.
I just felt like it was just like, I wanted to see their face and you couldn't see their face.
I felt like I was taking a spelling test.
Yeah.
Because like those
it was such a crazy first dining experience because we weren't even looking at each other. We weren't even really talking.
We were
kind of just enjoying the atmosphere.
Same with the egg.
You know how you can get a side of a hard-boiled egg.
Yes.
I started like rolling mine to crack it and I was like the shell was just really hard and I was like pushing to like get it to roll and crack and I was like, Zane, did you crack your egg yet? It's really hard. And he was like, no, not yet. And he took it on the side like you would crack a normal egg and
like a raw egg
to like
look. At first I thought I knew it was a boiled egg, but when I saw him saying it's really hard to crack this egg in my head,
you were like, maybe I'm putting it in the soup.
I was like, okay, I guess, because there's times where you crack an egg and it just cooks in your ramen. That's what I thought it was.
Oh my gosh.
So I was I was like, God damn, this is hard. And I'm sitting there like, dun, dun, dun. And I was like, we got it, baby. I crack it.
Two pieces.
A really interesting experience. Also, what I really thought was different too is they don't want, they want you to be able to ask for things without having to actually talk. So they had these like tabs on the side where if somebody in the restaurant was being loud and just like, you know, being like disrespectful, you take that, it's too loud in your tab. It's noisy. You just put it there and then that person will take care of it without.
But I wonder what they would do. We should have done it to see what they would have done.
I wonder if anybody called on us.
No, I think we were being pretty quiet.
Yeah. I think it's also, it tells the staff to quiet down because after every order, they all do that like chant. Like they all go like, ah, da, 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 da. Like,
oh, I didn't hear that.
Oh yeah. They like, it's almost like, fucking, it's almost like Cold Stone Creamery. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, we didn't get that the whole time.
Yeah, we couldn't hear over your cracking of the egg.
It was really good. And then I ended up getting it was like a matcha flan.
Yes,
that was
so
banging.
Ooh.
And then it had like a, you know, the strudels back in the day. It had like a strudel icing type thing that you would pour on top of it. Oh, man. It was delicious.
Oh, one thing. I heard no slurping eating them because I was so excited to hear everybody slurping while eating noodles because apparently it's like a sign of respect when you're like really loud slurping your noodles. And I didn't hear it.
It's supposed to mean that like it's really, really good. You're enjoying it. Like,
so it was no one enjoying their noodles?
I wonder if it's like China. I wonder if it's somewhere different.
Maybe.
I don't picture Japanese people doing that.
Yeah, I don't either.
Because I feel like because
they're so respectful.
Well, you know where I read that?
Where?
In my agenda book in high school, the little fun fact agenda book, that's where I read it.
I saw it from a Japanese girl on TikTok, so that's why I was like, oh, okay, it's still happening then.
Yeah.
But
people are just like, damn, she's loud.
Maybe it's more like in the privacy of your own home. Like, I don't know. Who knows? We don't need to like.
But I'm saying it could be something where like if somebody were to make a TikTok for Japan, like, are you coming to America? Make sure you do this.
Yeah.
And it's something that none of us actually do.
Right.
It could be something like that.
One thing though I did love, and it made me as like an American just feel disgusting. It's just the bidets out there, the level of the toilets.
Every single toilet was heated and bidet.
Every single one. You could be at like a little. A porta potty, hole in the wall bar,
and it was heated.
Seats heated.
A toilet seat right there. It makes me want to invest. Like, you know, I like my tushy, but now I'm like, let's get a big upgrade. On that. I want a Toto.
I did it,
and I didn't like it.
What
the bidet? Didn't like what?
I did it one time.
Wait,
not that it, like I get the whole cleaning part, but I did it. And then I went to wipe after, and my hand just went right through my toilet paper because my ass was soaked.
Well, maybe like the toilet paper was like really.
Yeah, their toilet paper is actually pretty thin. I've noticed.
And I was like, well, now I made even more of a mess.
I kind of do mine like a ball at when it's
you
got
to use a little
and so
bit more.
Then like you make it like a ball, not like more the sheet form. Cause like if a ball, it's like multi-textured kind of. And so there's more grooves for
Heath
it.
Heath was
like,
being environmentally friendly and he was only using one sheet at a time.
Right.
I do pretty well with toilet paper.
But it's wild how customary it is to have a toilet that does have a bidet on it. Like in America, it is so rare. Everyone's walking around with poopy butts all the time.
Hey, not if you wipe well.
Still,
you know what I do?
Poop on your hand, you would want to wash it under a sink rather than just getting a dry towel, being like, it's clean. Like, huh?
Like wet wipes.
Sure, exactly. But wet wipes is a form of like cleanliness, obviously. But like wet wipes, they can't have that like in every bathroom. It's like fresh wet wipes.
So I usually just grab that. I put it under the faucet and then I do that. Mm. But then like when it gets through and then then I just like kind of like, you know, I just kind of like.
Did you ever have to, the whole entire time you were there, had to use one of the toilets that was like in the ground?
No.
I only saw one.
I saw one too. Heath and I saw one. But Patricia had to go pee in one and she was like.
Phew. Oh, yeah.
You like just like squat, right?
Yeah. Like, time I had to do an 11 on number 2 in one of those toilets.
Number 2?
Not fun. Just
Oh, man.
Well, I mean, that's me anytime if I have an emergency, because I don't use the, like, I don't go to the bathroom.
So what is
in public.
Is it, are you like shy? Is it like kind of poop shy? Or
I just think it's disgusting.
To sit on any toilet.
Yeah.
Even, why don't you put toilet paper on the seat?
Doesn't help.
My brother's it's the same disgusting. Way. My brother's never went in public.
Is it because like you just don't want to do it in like in a public place?
I think it's a mix of everything. I think it's gross. Like, first of all, if I got a splashback in a public restroom, I think right then and there, I would blow my brains out.
Well, you
I,
know how to avoid a backsplash, right?
Sometimes it doesn't work.
How do you avoid it?
Every time I go to the bathroom, even put here, I put toilet it. Paper down before I...
A splashback, meaning like if
it dunked and then the water...
Then how do you put toilet paper to prevent...
It? You put toilet paper on the
on
water.
On the surface.
On the water before you go, so it cradles, it catches it down.
It catches it like a
net.
Like a dumpling.
I've never thought about like that.
They should do that before the plane crashes in the water.
Just yes.
A big
drop in
that. A big chute. I mean, that's smart, but, I think.
But sometimes it'll rip right through. And for some reason, that water is so much faster than your sphincter.
Oh, and it's, like, just, it so, just, it's just so cold,
right,
too.
Right back up.
It's like the Titanic.
Shiver me timbers.
Shiver.
It's disgusting.
I had to remember how to do a big dookie in the
All right.
It was like the one of the, you know, the like those big places where you go get coffee and like everyone's studying. So I had to
shop?
I really had to go.
Oh, no, yeah.
It was more than a coffee shop. It was more like felt like a study hall. It was a giant study hall. You saw college kids everywhere, they're all studying. Ran into this place, right? And I was like, I gotta go or I'm doing it on the sidewalk. So I run into this place and I'm like, oh God. I go upstairs filled with college students, right? one bathroom and there's a line, right? So like whoever is in front, you just gotta make sure you're quick because someone behind you has got to go.
Oh no.
And I'm waiting in line. I'm like, oh my God, I really have to go, but I don't want all these Japanese people here. They're all gonna laugh at me. I'm getting laughed at already. And I just don't want to be the laughing stock of this entire place. So I'm in there and I'm trying to hurry up and I hear laughing outside and it just like, it triggered me. That's what happened to me in middle school. Right. I'd poop a lot in the stall and they'd look in the hole.
You also know how long Zane takes to go to the bathroom.
Oh, we know.
But no, wait, but when I'm trying to rush, I can be out of there in 15 seconds, but this was bad. This was bad. This was 4 days of just...
build up
and they were laughing the whole time and he get out and
they were banging on the door for him to hurry up.
Oh yeah, dun, dun, dun. They knew I was in there. You know, usually we don't like knock on the door when we know someone's in there.
Yeah.
They don't give a fuck.
You know what else I noticed about the bathrooms? Another simple issue that they solved: floor to ceiling doors and no cracks.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Much privacy.
Yeah, because it's weird.
Because it's weird.
I think they still have it because there's perverts and creeps that like go
that
in those stalls.
Building these restrooms.
It's just it's disgusting.
And the heated seats, you realize, make such a difference from like making your body in a relaxed
like,
state to go. Like I didn't
That's
have to
true.
Usually when you sit down, you're like, okay, gotta think. And now it's happening. Right when you're already there on a warm seat, you're like, and here it comes. It just like your body
Maybe
was like, we're safe.
It just speeds up the process, I guess. It's like the automatic doors.
Honestly, I think they probably tested it where they saw that people use the bathroom faster.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
I know we want to stay in order, but we do have a bathroom story. We might as well just jump to it.
Oh my God. Oh. This was.
Yeah. Let's just, we're going to skip ahead. So we're, yeah.
We'll go back and forth. We're going to.
This was insane.
In and out.
So our last night, we were trying to get like a restaurant booked and couldn't find a reservation. Everywhere we were getting turned down because they just don't seat that many people. So you have to either wait a really long time or plan ahead.
And we didn't really like get sushi, like good sushi the whole time. So we really, we were like, you know what? Let's just find a good sushi spot.
I knew as soon as we came back, everybody's going to be like, how was the sushi out there?
Yeah, I already got asked three times
I know,
already. How
me
was
too.
We did prioritize, the trip was only a week long, so we prioritized sightseeing.
Yeah.
We were walking all day, and then until everything closed, we were like, oh shit, we should probably eat something. So
yeah.
It was tough to do both.
Yeah.
So we were like on a hunt for sushi the last night. I was like, I need to get good sushi so I can come back and tell everybody how good it was. Couldn't find a sushi place that would take us.
Like
so I was
45
like,
minutes to an hour.
I was like, you know what?
It.
I want to try fast food out here to compare it to America to see what the difference would be. So I was like, let's just do McDonald's. We all know what it tastes like.
Except for Mariah.
I do now. Thank you very much.
So we go to McDonald's. She has it for the first time.
In Japan.
In Japan. How iconic.
A few times I just kept looking at Mariah. I'm like, there's just no way you've never had it. Like, I know you know you've never had it, yeah. But how are you having it here for the first time?
I think my parents scared me straight.
How similar was it when you walked in? Did it smell the same? All the main, they have quarter pounders and Big Macs?
I felt like it was kind of similar to like a Big One in New York, right? I felt like it wasn't any different.
It was one where you like order down low and then you go up and there's a whole seating area.
Yeah.
But everything pretty much looked the same, like the staff and all the machines, the ordering process.
And the food.
Food had totally different items. So I got a samurai burger.
Wait till you hear what's in it. It was wild. I didn't think they would have then, this.
So we kind of went hard just because we wanted to try everything.
And it was Mariah's birthday.
Yeah.
McDonald's birthday.
My first birthday.
I got a spicy chicken patty type thing.
It was like teriyaki though, no?
Well, the other thing that I got was a teriyaki burger with a piece of cheese.
Teriyaki like steak or chicken?
It was a burger, but covered in teriyaki sauce.
Okay.
And then like a slab of bacon.
Don't say slab.
A slab of like thick cut bacon this big. Then on top of that, it had a hard cooked over hard egg.
So no.
Like a breakfast egg. Then on top of that was lettuce. And then on top of that was egg salad. So it was like double egg. Bro, I got to show you the picture of what this thing looked like.
He said it was pretty all good.
Respect, all respect, but the egg salad. Why would you put an egg and then you top it off with some egg salad?
I don't know why they doubled up the egg.
He doesn't get
it.
Egg salad is amazing. It's amazing.
So I love egg salad. I got to say, honestly blown away by this burger of how good it was. I expected it to be disgusting, but it was really good. Samurai was my favorite though. That was like a bacon cheeseburger with like raw onions on it. And then this like half pretzel roll type thing. Oh my God. It was banging.
Oh, and the staff, incredible.
They are just, their uniforms are so clean and yes. Put together. Oh, and they have the hat.
Police uniforms. Security guards.
Yeah. Compare it to like the employees of McDonald's here. Like their shirts like 3 weeks, 3 weeks on vlog.
Zane, out here they got their visors like this.
Backwards hats. Oh my gosh. That's
different.
Really
but
funny.
No, but like just seeing that difference was insane.
Do you think they come to America and if they saw like the way they treat their uniforms, if they're like, wow, they're just so cool and laid back.
Or are they like? I think it's a culture shock for them. So yeah. I just think it's like kind of cool for them.
I know that like their cleanliness is bound to their religion, which is like Buddhism and Shinto. And that's a big practice is the value of maintaining a clean space. And that is like good. Okay. Like, so all respect to like their religious freedom. I wish we could make it normal out here where it is bad luck to be dirty. Like
I agree.
Bad luck in dirtiness. Like bad things will come to you if you're dirty. I just wish that was normalized because obviously it's a religious thing and we're very multi-religious.
Yeah, but we should be doing it anyway. Why do we want to trash our country?
That's why I don't know. Because I just wish there was a consequence. There is no, the idea of just going cleaning, so what? It's just going to be there. I don't care.
I think the littering fee is a myth. I don't know one person who got a ticket for littering.
I've never heard of anybody getting it. Like, it's crazy because there's signs for that everywhere.
It's like a $300 fee.
I think those are for tourists. They come, so clean.
Look, I could see them coming here taking a picture of the littering sign.
$1,500.
Like, oh, no, that doesn't happen.
And then you know damn well if you did throw something out of your car while driving and got pulled over because a cop saw it and went to write you a littering fine, you'd be like, come on, really?
Yeah. And you could probably beat it.
But the McDonald's was amazing.
Yes.
And definitely you could
super
tell.
Super clean.
You could tell a difference between the quality out there versus here. The burger had like the meat had a seasoning on it. It tasted like, you could taste that it was like, cooked on a grill, like it just had flavor.
We brought the wrapper back for Jordan, so he does have a wrapper.
I brought it for him. He opened it up and licked the sauce.
That no, was, I'm not
Jordan. They said that they were just there that morning.
Morning? You told him morning?
It was hours before.
Hours before?
Yeah, that was before. 12 hours.
Technically, he tried it before we did with the time difference.
Oh, yeah.
We flew out at 5 and landed at 10 in the morning.
Okay, that's going to, I feel like I'm high.
Oh, my gosh. So the sauce is probably like all up. Like it's probably
amazing.
Okay.
But while we're there, so we're sitting there at the table and throughout the entire trip, we'll dive into it once we go point by point, but we had gotten laughed at for multiple things, like whether it be our eating or just silly American stuff. But we were getting laughed at, and we just saw groups of tables like laughing, and we're like, oh my God, here we go. What did we do this time? And then we kept seeing people get up and go into the bathroom, and then people's reaction were like just absolutely disgusted. They would walk into the bathroom and they would come out covering their face.
Like there was
laughing.
A body in well, there.
Like it was.
Well, so no. Well, before that, it was those two groups of girls, right? Yes. So they would go in the bathroom and they would giggle and go back out. And I remember we all looked at each other because girls were giggling the whole time. So in our head, we're like, oh, the bathroom just probably smells bad. You know, it's like, it wouldn't be surprising if the bathroom smelled bad and they're just overreacting because, you know, they're just giggling. They're young.
The entire.
Oh,
what happened?
Oh my God. It's the.
But it was the entire time we were eating, these girls were giggling, looking at each other, like everybody was looking at each other. And Zane was the one that was like, is something happening right now? Because like something's going down. So I took the reins and I was like, I have to go inside this bathroom.
And see if it's really just like, you know, it smells bad or there's something going on in there.
Yeah. So the boys were like, go look.
You have to, and she didn't want to do it. Everybody was looking and yes. It was like kind of this like weird thing. If you were next, you were going to be the next target.
Everybody's all watching the reaction.
Yeah.
People were waiting for a reaction.
And we were like, Mariah, do it for the podcast. Just go to the bathroom. And whatever
and
you
like,
see, whatever you see, take a picture. It's weird.
So what was it?
And I took the task. Okay. So I walked into the bathroom. I don't even want to say it.
Just say it. We can say it.
It's dirty.
It's disgusting.
Wait, you want us to say it?
Yeah.
Because we saw the picture.
She ended up taking a picture to show us.
So this bathroom, pile of shit, air smeared all across the wall, and big pile of shit on
like
the ground.
Like if somebody were to lean and put their ass up against a wall in explosive.
Matt, this looks like inhumane.
Like a grenade went off.
And she showed us the picture. I was like, how did this happen in the past 10 minutes? It's like, who went in there and exploded? And it didn't even make it in the toilet. It was where, like, you wash your hands, right? So like, somebody went in there and just, boom, and just exploded in there.
Unreal.
Matt,
which was crazy to see because everywhere there is clean. So this was
very.
Let me take a look at this. Oh, my God.
Zane looked at it and he goes, I have to zoom in.
I have to zoom in to see the pee-pee cocky.
Yeah, we all did it.
We have to.
Did a child do this?
That's too much. No, look how that's a lot.
A child didn't do that.
That's a lot.
Someone with like a disability?
No, that is a fully functional adult. Shit.
Oh, but then speaking of children, like moms were walking in with their daughters afterwards and watching these kids' reactions. It was sad.
Oh my.
We honestly could have sat there all night and just looked at people's.
A part of us wanted to go tell the staff there was like a big fucking pile of shit.
But nobody wanted it to look like it was them. Yeah. That's why nobody was saying anything. Because they're like, if we go say like somebody did this in the bathroom, they're going to think it's you.
Gotcha.
But we also had a lot of fun looking at all the faces going in that bathroom and coming right back
out. I felt
like
a family. I didn't feel like I had friends that night.
Yeah. Because they would walk out. We'd see their face, then we'd all look at each other.
Oh yeah, I had a moment. There was like these little teenage girls that knew what were going on. And I went in and I walked out and they looked at me and I was like, and they were like, I know.
oh, they went, I know.
Yeah. They were laughing.
Wow.
Where's that area where all the lights? Remember all the lights? We were walking through that first night. What was that place called?
Yeah. Kabuchiko.
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 That was after we got ramen, we just started like,
oh yeah.
Started exploring and that was like our first night, which was so exciting. We got to see all the lights and everybody was just alive and out.
I can't believe how many people were out at all times of the day.
And half the people in tux.
Yes.
In like black tie tux.
Oh yeah. The way people dress there, just everybody looked so crispy. There wasn't if people were wearing a t-shirt, it wasn't even wrinkled. Everything like starched pants, like everybody looked so good.
Yeah.
Which sucks because I feel like every time we plan a trip, we try to pack nice things, except for this trip, we packed for comfort.
I know.
I felt like I was out of place when it came to my style.
I thought we did pretty good. Zane, everybody was wearing your jackets. Zane packed two jackets. Oh, yeah. Everyone was wearing them. And I was like, Zane, you should feel like you did the right thing.
Yeah. Because it was from Uniqlo, which is like the biggest store in Japan.
You did good.
That was amazing. I did not know that was a big store in Japan when we went the day before we left.
Everybody looks so good. And just walking around, like seeing all the lights in person, it was just so bright and vibrant.
Yeah.
And like just the whole town felt alive. And what was really cool is like as we're walking around, like taking pictures throughout the city, the like local people were like getting in the pictures and were like
smiling.
Yeah. And it was so weird because normally out here, if you were to like take a picture on the street, people would like duck or like look away and try to like,
be like, you didn't get my permission.
Yeah.
But out there, everybody was like really excited and they would put up a peace sign.
especially sweet. I think because knowing that we were tourists, like they were like, oh my God, we're going to be in a picture in America.
And then in exchange, somewhere else, they would want a picture with us. And they were just like, we were just so happy to see each other.
They loved getting their pictures taken, which is why we posted a lot of them when we were just posting in general, because they liked it. Even when we took a picture of them, they weren't looking. After we put our phone down, they were smiling, waving at us and just excited that they were just in this photo.
That's the place to do street photography. I'll tell you that.
Yes. Yeah,
there's so much stimulation
content
all around.
In general, I was out here. I'm like uncomfortable. It's still like, if you see somebody taking a picture of themselves, people still stare.
I'm uncomfortable like, filming this in my house.
Right. Yeah. Same. It's like, it's still embarrassing. Here for some reason. There, we were pushing out content because everybody was all for it.
Yeah, they loved it. I mean, we were just all filming together.
We were all helping each other's channel.
Yeah,
they knew what we were doing.
But that was really cool there. And then we found this area called Golden Guy,
which was
so cool.
That was probably one of my favorite parts in Tokyo. It's basically like this little section where it's got a bunch of bars and alleys and little restaurants. And the bars are literally
tiny,
the size of for five people. And that's it.
Just for like you and your friends just to dominate. And they let that bar host you.
Like the size of Mariah and Matt's section right now. That tiny. Was like, would be a bar.
So you don't really get to see exactly what it is. A lot of them is a doorway and it just has stairs going down.
Yeah.
Or there's stairs going up.
I think we walked
up
into people's houses.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
We walked up into one and I was like, ooh, this looks like a cool doorway. Let's go see what's up here. We opened the door and it was a guy sitting there cooking in front of one person. And it was this big up there. And the guy's sitting there and he's like serving somebody. And we looked at each other and I was like, I'm not supposed to be here.
Yeah. Like, we went up there and the guy was like, hi. I was like, hey.
So he probably gets it all the time, but he's kind of just like whatever to it.
Oh, it was truly his house?
I don't know if he like lives on top of like his bar or something or but it felt like I walked into this guy's home.
Oh, they were just on break.
I don't know what it was, but we ended up finding the really cool dolphin ambiance.
It was like a dolphin bar. I just like walked in it because there were like Americans that walked out of it. It was cool.
It was our first drink. Our first little toast.
But that guy was nice. He had like the little knife and he was cutting up like a little ice ball.
Oh yeah.
And then he was really friendly because he kept giving us snacks.
Yeah.
You remember? My God.
I found my new favorite snack.
Oh, what were they again?
They were like Doritos. It was like the puff Doritos.
The 3D Doritos.
Oh my God. They were so good. I was a pilot.
Mariah was knocking them back.
We took a picture of it. I barely looked at it. I was like, all right, next time we go to 7-Eleven, we're going to pick up these motherfuckers. We're going to keep eating this shit.
Matt, we found them.
You did?
We found them at a 7-Eleven. We're
and
like,
you'll
yes.
never guess what they were.
The flavor is. I almost about puked in my mouth.
What?
Spicy cod flavor. Exactly.
Wait, oh, that's what y'all were eating?
Yes.
Spicy cod chips.
I would have never picked that up, but I was eating it all night. And then after I found out the flavor, I took a bite. And I couldn't even swallow it because I just knew what
they
that
tasted like cheddar. I didn't get spice. I didn't get cod.
But it just sucks that once you find out what something is, and that's any food, you find out something is, you eat it, you like fully indulge. You now know.
Oh, forget it. I ate the whole bucket at the bar. As soon as you said, oh, these are the same chips, but they're spicy cod. I was like, I can't do it. Even though I demolished them at the bar, but I ate it.
Yeah. It's like when you find out Caesar salad has anchovies and then you just have anchovies in your brain every time
anchovies.
I don't care. As long as I don't want to eat a whole anchovy. I don't want that whole thing in my mouth.
I bought fried or like the dried out anchovies.
I saw that. It's disgusting.
I did. Because
But do you eat the whole fish like that, or do you eat
you eat the head to the tail.
Oh,
but it was like Patricia and I were about to get on a train, and I saw it, and I was like, I got it. Like, there's something like I eat anchovies, like, but I don't eat sardines.
Yeah,
I eat like the fillet of an anchovy, but I was like, I just want to try those to see what it's like. The first one, honestly, wasn't bad. It almost tastes like a fish jerky. Ugh. Like, it was just like, it was, and then the second one, I had like a bit of like a crisis where I was like, what am I doing? Like, this is disgusting. And then I couldn't. Like,
it sounded like you enjoyed it though.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't like I didn't need to throw up.
You kind of like gross stuff though.
Okay, that's like a loaded like assumption. Not gross things. I'm adventurous. Like, I'm not like icky.
You're willing to try whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I was like exposed to like a lot of like food, like growing up, like to experience it and stuff.
Me, complete opposite, unfortunately.
What were they, just like chicken tendies and PBJs?
Yeah. Really? Because it was all I could eat because I could only eat halal food. But now, give me that shot of tequila. You hold the boy down, he blooms out, baby. Motherfucker, I hit 18 years old, boom.
Do not brag about that.
I know.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Do you remember how fun pachinko was? I'm glad we got to try that.
Yes.
While we were
so pachinko was like one of like Japanese cultures, one of their, I want to say their favorite pastime, but it's a big fun game that they like to play. And you see these pachinko places everywhere.
I didn't know that gambling was illegal, and that is their form of gambling.
Yes, because it's more of like an arcade style form of gambling. So like you go and you put in money, but pachinko, it looks like a bunch of slot machines, but it's almost, it's like, think of like slot machines in like almost a pinball machine. And it's these little tiny like silver BB orb looking things. And you try to get them to fall in like the middle like slot.
It's like one of those old fish games where you got to get the rings.
Yes.
To me, it was the same energy as that coin game where the coin falls and you watch the coins like push. That, to me, it felt like you were sitting there because that's really addicting. You could sit there all like for about 8 hours and watch those coins fall.
Yeah.
I felt like that's like their way, their style.
So while you were playing, we were walking around and we found like the little like snack stand and like to go get like drinks and stuff in the back. And we're like sitting there shopping around.
We're
picking up stuff. I'm like, oh, this looks nice. Let's grab some of these. And the guy comes over and he's like, you can't have those. And I was like, no, we're gonna buy them. And he's like, you can't buy them. And I was like, doesn't make any sense. And then come to find out that's only for claiming as a prize. So if you win in pachinko, you get to go over there. So it's like Dave and Buster's, where you take your tickets and your tokens.
Yeah, it's like
and
an
you
arcade.
Go,
but it wasn't for toys or for candy.
It was literally like grocery store.
Yeah, it's just little like snack convenience store items that you get as a, so I was trying to wrap my brain around it, like why people go and do this. And it's just a fun way to go and pass the time.
Yeah, it's a little rush.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you spent like $50 to walk out with a Red Bull.
I didn't spend $50, I spent $5.
Oh, really?
Yes, I only put in like a thousand yen.
It wasn't just a Red Bull. He got like a little cracker too, like that little rice cracker thing.
I got a Red Bull, and then they gave me like some cola gummies and a thing. So I only lost $4, but I was able to get like $3, or it was like $5. Yeah,
but it was like the experience,
and you got to have fun while doing it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The guy who was trying to explain to me the rules, he hardly knew English. I'm trying to vibe with it, but he was like, I'm like, I don't care. Even if I lose money, I just want to know how to play this. But he was so worried.
Oh, but he was beating you though. Like I remember he would go. He would get all in.
Okay, now you go.
Matt wouldn't be able to get any in.
It's almost like there's like a bit of strategy with like the knob that you're turning, and that's the speed of how fast they're getting released. And there's a lot of, Shota was saying that there's a lot of probability that goes into it. A lot of people get like addicted to the flow and then the odds of it hitting.
Yeah.
By the way, Shota is Heath's friend. He's from California, but he just moved to Tokyo.
Yeah, he moved out there about a year ago. Yeah, he moved out there a year ago.
Yeah, so he, thank God, there was like a couple days where he showed us, hop on this train, let's go over here. He showed us some little like pockets.
Yeah, it was nice to have somebody that spoke Japanese, who was a local there, who could show us around and kind of not be a tour guide, but basically be a lifeline for us while we were there.
Yeah, it was really fun.
It's really cool too that like he didn't speak it fluently at all before he moved there, and he was able to pick it up in a year.
Amazing.
Which,
yeah.
You know, he's Japanese, but it's still really crazy that he was able to pick it up from his brain and just learn it fluently in a year.
That was amazing.
That's why in my head I was like, can I go to Lebanon for a year and like pick that up fluently? Like pick up Arabic again? Because I have it in my brain. I used to speak it fluently.
You probably could.
Yeah, I bet you could.
Which is so interesting.
I bet
to
you
me.
Could. If you practice it for a year, you'd be like, that's it.
Because it's like, it's all about recognizing words and recognizing like.
And then after that, we went to our first sushi spot out there. It was one of those conveyor belt experience.
Oh, so cool.
Sushiro.
Didn't you just like walk in there? Like, did he even know where we were going?
I had it like on like my maps. Like I had it clocked in as like a potential place we could go to. I knew it was there. And then, but I was still uncertain because like in Tokyo, you'll see a bunch of like places that it's not always on the street. You have to go up an elevator or down an elevator to find the store. And we ended up going to a conveyor sushi belt
but
place.
It wasn't like the TikToks. It wasn't like a conveyor belt sushi like I thought it was going to be. Normally, they just put a bunch of shit out on a conveyor belt and send it. And if you want it, you just pick it off and grab it.
Yeah. And I think because of COVID, they've like changed up those rules. So it's more like this all one, of that's advertisement.
This one was totally different. Like you place the order. First of all, this shit came out in 30 seconds from pressing go.
Wild.
But there's one conveyor belt that runs down the whole thing, and then it knows it'll catch a turn and shift off and come directly to your table, and everybody else's would be going past, and then it would break off to each person's table.
And that
table.
Shit was going fast, too. It was like, when it was coming down, it was like, you better be prepared.
Yeah.
Or it's gonna land all
over. Because you're completely on your own. You don't have a waitress.
Yeah.
You start ordering immediately. The food's coming out. Oh,
when you're sitting at the end of the table, it is your job. It is your duty.
Yeah.
Because if you're not taking that shit down, that food's going to be coming. It's going to be crashing to your table.
And of course, me and Zane were left with the window seat. So it was our responsibility.
I thought it'd be cool to be next to it. Then I realized, and I have to now pick up everybody's food. I can't even eat my own food. But, it was really fun. My favorite part were the desserts.
Oh, first of all, we ordered so much. I think I had like four drinks. Matt had like four drinks.
Oh, yeah.
We had to try them all.
We all got so much stuff, a bunch of different sushi, different soups. Mariah got a bunch of chicken tenders and french fries. We got melon pops.
Oh,
I thought this bill was going to be $300-something.
Oh yeah, for sure. Our table was stacked.
We got five desserts. First of all, dessert was banging.
Yeah, I still think about it.
It was like a tiramisu with ice cream, and then like this cookie thing on the bottom.
Oh, baby, take your time.
Keep describing it. Tell me what it was.
Keep describing it.
But our total came out to be $105.
Bananas.
We were so
reasonable out there.
It thrilled us bad. We couldn't believe it. And Matt was freaking out because because every drink that we got came in this dish, right? We had to grab the dish and then you take the cup out of the dish.
It was a console.
It was a whole console.
It was like a saucer.
And our stacks started getting higher than like our own like bodies where how we're sitting.
It was like the size of a tortilla, you know, like tortillas when they serve you in like that little holder. It was like, we had, I swear, 20 of those on our table.
And everybody else's tables, none of them had like saucers. Everybody was, tables were pretty clean, except for our tables. We had
skyscrapers of plates.
And Matt was freaking out that we were doing it all wrong. Because Matt was usually the first one to like call anything out. If he thinks we're doing something wrong, he'll like freak out.
I'm just always looking out what other people are doing and trying to make sure I'm in line with it.
Exactly. We need someone like that. But then we noticed that there were no waitresses coming by. Like nobody was there to clean out the table, and we're like, okay, what are these other tables doing that we're not doing?
I just don't think we were supposed to order as much as we did.
I know.
Like most people got they had self-serving water. So I'm sure most people just get water, and then there was free matcha on the table.
Anybody really got drinks or sodas.
We had the lot.
Yeah.
Well, we learned very quickly that we were ordering too much.
Yeah.
We learned that from the next restaurant.
Oh
right?
my God. Yeah. That was,
that was,
That was really an eye-opening experience. That one really like let us know that, oh wow, we are disgusting.
So we were walking around one day and we were trying to figure out what to eat. And we were just like, whatever restaurant we pass next, we're just going to go in.
So yeah.
Everyone was down. Cool. We find a restaurant. We're like, this is gorgeous. We walked in. It was like a hotel, indoor, outdoor feel. Beautiful, beautiful spot. It felt like the Catch LA
yeah.
of Japan.
It was definitely fancy.
Very beautiful. Pretty. Yeah. There was like just pretty girls sitting having tea and pastries. It was just very sophisticated. So we march in and we get our table. We all order. We love drinks, right?
Yeah.
So you have to have the water, the iced coffee, and then your fun the soda. Drink. So we had, yeah, we had like three drinks each, but then we each had a bowl. We ordered a bowl. So
hold on. When we were ordering, so there's like a couple different bowls you could choose from or like a pasta or something. We're going through the line and then it gets to Zane and the lady's asking what he wants. And he was like, this one and this one. She was like, which one? And he was like, this one and this one.
Both.
And she was like, which one do you want though? And then Zane was like, both. And she was like,
oh, you it was sure hard about because that? We wanted to try multiple things.
It's the trying everything. Yeah. That's like what we really want to do because we're out here. We want to try everything. So
and we're looking around to see if anybody else is eating to see what the food looked like. But everybody just had a tower of these cute little tiny pastries, strawberries, little cakes.
And nobody was eating.
The girls sitting next to us were just taking pictures of the food. We were there for like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
This was a long lunch. They were taking pictures of the food. They were going live on Instagram. Like nobody was actually taking a bite of their food. So we were like, a part of us were like, is this like, are we not supposed to actually eat?
It's toy food this whole time.
Yeah. So
that's what it seemed like.
We order the food and then we're looking at the menu for dessert. And there's three desserts on there, but we were like, we got to try all three. Like
there's five of us. We can handle.
Yeah, there's a lot of us. There was a lot of us.
And we realized that none of our plates were being taken from us, right? Our empty dishes or even a place with a little bit of food left.
Right.
Everything was still on our table. We had no more room left, right? Usually in America, they would clean it up over the top.
But keep in mind, people in this restaurant were looking at us this whole time and kind of being like
we
giggly.
Had 10 heads.
Like, look at how much these people are eating. Like,
but we did. We honestly didn't know why, right?
No, they were cracking up. Remember, Zane looked over at my phone and I was Googling, why is everyone laughing at us?
We're in Japan. Why is everyone laughing at us? And we were really trying to figure it out. And we obviously didn't get a response on Google because it was just.
I think every employee came over to see if everything was okay. They had a new person coming in.
It was like they went in the back like, yo, you got to see what this table is doing.
It's like we were being loud and disrespectful. Yes. That's what it seemed like.
I was like hurtling so hard the entire time.
The manager now came over because we had one dessert in front of us already. And he goes, did you order two more desserts to confirm? And we were like, yeah, we got all of them. And he's like, are you sure? And we were like, yeah, like bring it. We want to try it. And they're like, okay. So he came over again to confirm, to point at the menu. You want all of these
This
desserts?
Was now the manager.
Yes.
They brought over the head of the restaurant just to make sure he ordered three
and
desserts.
Every time they brought somebody over, we looked behind and everybody in the kitchen was
the
like,
whole staff.
Oh my God. What the two ladies did? Oh yeah. So our server and then the other lady that was
working
at the restaurant.
Oh, what you saw. Yeah.
I'm looking at these two. I'm looking at all the staff because we're trying to figure out what it is, right?
Yeah.
So I see the boy, our server and another lady. Our server is looking at us and her friend is looking that way. I'm looking at her and she points at our table. She's like,
"Woo!"
Just like that. She looks at the server, looks at her, she goes.
So then Zane shuts down because he's like, "We're doing something.
We're doing something wrong."
So we call Handy Dandy Shota, Heath's friend, to FaceTime this manager.
And I was like, "Can you talk to him and like find out?" Like I was like, "In not in a weird way, but can you find out like what's so funny? Like why are we being laughed at?" So I put him on the phone with like the manager guy and then like they talked for like a little while and then hung up and I asked Shota afterwards. I was like, what was he saying? He was like, he said that he's never seen anybody order so much food and that we ate for 10 people and that were monsters.
He said the word monsters.
That were monsters.
Nothing made me feel more disgusting.
More American.
Than that. Yeah. And that was pretty, like, we didn't even order that much food. Right. We didn't order that much food.
The conveyor belt, we were monsters.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
But we all picked one little thing besides Zane's two things, but we also ate everything. I got
a bowl and a dessert.
Then we searched Google. We found out that it's disrespectful to leave food on your plate. And we gotta eat everything.
They didn't clear our plate until it was empty because they cleared some of ours. So how they worded it online was that, not that it's disrespectful, but it's very unusual to order again.
That's
why everybody had one little strawberry at their table and that was it. Like if you ask for something else, they're like, what?
Yeah, like why would you order more when there's still food on your plate?
You know, and we felt so bad for ordering so much food, so we wanted to leave a tip, but then you can't leave a tip.
It's this whole thing, yeah.
Because we don't want to, it was just, it's a lot.
It was so funny. It was so funny.
That was probably the most
we learned our lesson. Yeah, we definitely learned our lesson.
And then what did we do after that? We ordered a shit ton of McDonald's. We actually stopped caring at one point. We were just like, you know what?
We're disgusting.
We're disgusting. We know it. We're at least not being disrespectful and being loud. Let's just order as much food as we want.
At least order it in one go. Exactly. Rather than having it over the course.
Because we're also only there for a week and we want to be able to try everything.
Yeah. And that's the thing, Heath. They didn't know we were only there for a week. And I think that if they knew, they wouldn't have laughed so hard.
Yeah.
I agree.
So.
Because I think like it was a place that wasn't for like tourists.
Exactly.
Like it was like for like locals.
It seemed like an Instagram place.
Yeah.
It was full of all the social media, just pictures, videos.
Oh my, can we talk about one more thing before we end this podcast? Yeah. Because we still have so much, but we have to.
It's hard to like stop.
Yeah. Somewhere. So we gotta continue on the next episode, but we want to talk about one more thing. So this was one of the highlights, one of the highlights of the whole trip. But we were at a train station in Ginza, right?
Yeah.
We were going from one place to one place and we were going through the train station and Patricia had to go to the bathroom real quick before we made our way to the train. And she
comes out sweating.
She comes out sweating. We're like, what's going on? She's like, I just pressed the button to flush the toilet, and then a bunch of security cops came in.
Sirens going off
in the train station. We're like, "What'd you do?" She was like, "I thought I pressed the flush, but I think I pressed the SOS button right next to the flush."
It's a big red SOS.
It's two big buttons.
Which I think it's crazy that she looked at SOS and pressed it. That's
hysterical.
Wild. But they take that shit seriously out there.
Yeah. They were there in a second.
And it was like a man who like opened up the stall.
Marched into the stall. Which was it? Wild.
That is imagine so thinking funny. You're going to flush. You're just so like,
boom.
Boom.
Like the Kool-Aid man.
Yeah. That was crazy. But then again, they are on their shit. It's just like we keep getting examples of how on top of their shit they are. In America, 35 minutes, SOS button.
Crazy.
No, in America, the wires wouldn't be attached. And just go to another. It would just be a dead button that just doesn't do anything.
You'd put on hold.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, man.
And that was for if someone like fell in the bathroom?
Yeah.
Or was that more like if someone's being attacked in the bathroom?
Have you ever been in a hotel room and they have that little string hanging from the wall by the toilet? Oh, I go to like really like
two star. Wait, I've never heard.
Yeah,
what string?
A string.
Look it up.
Yeah, you gotta move the roaches and get to the string.
What does a string do?
They are very old.
It's like when you would go to a hotel and there'd be like a telephone.
Next to the
toilet. It's like an emergency.
I know
there's a string for like if you fall like senior citizens, I guess. SOS string.
I wouldn't know about that.
It looks like a little like curtain pole.
Oh,
Mariah, where are you staying at?
The examples are just fucking gross.
It's all vintage photos.
That's it.
Yeah, it's just a little string.
Oh, that's funny. I mean, that's not funny. I mean, that's something you probably had to do at the time. Which is okay. It's okay.
That's what it looks like. You've never seen that?
Oh, I've seen that. They have that all over in Lebanon.
All right. So?
Back then.
Good for you.
Back then.
Back in the hundreds.
Back in the olden days.
Oh, but yeah, we're like halfway through the
Japan trip. I don't even think we're halfway.
Oh, yeah.
Not even.
Get ready for part two. I'm sorry. I'm so tired, guys.
I know. We know, baby. Okay. All right. So happy birthday, Heath.
Thank you.
I hope you had a lovely day.
I did.
Close us out. birthday right. boy.
Make sure to check out our Cremata starter kit. You can get it at cremata.com. We got a bunch of different coffee, K-cups, bagged. We've got espresso. And then you can also check out our Patreon, patreon.com/Zane and Heath. You get early access to all these episodes. You're going to get them ad-free. You're also going to get a bonus high episode or drunk episode every single month. We do a live Q&A. We've got a Discord. You guys can hang out, chat with us. And again, patreon.com/Zane and Heath to check that out.
Woo! You can check out this episode every week. On Mondays, we post the audio form on like podcast app, on Spotify, on the Google podcasts. On Mondays, audio form. I already said that. And on Tuesdays, we post a video form on youtube.com/Zane and Heath.
Mm.
Thank you a little so update. Our ducks are pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
We're going to
have God.
We watched them doing it.
Oh, yeah. They were doing it. And, like suffocation, no breathing. Yes.
It was insane.
I thought she was drowning. I jumped in.
They're still in that chlorine water. Should they be like in some fresh water?
It's, yeah.
They don't, Matt.
You should have seen the dick dance after.
No.
It was
oh, boy.
That is a power move right there.
Yo, both of them got done. They separated. They went like this. They stood up.
They
in
levitated.
The water and went like this.
What?
And then that was, it was
beautiful. It was magical.
Oh, my God. When he comes inside.
Enough.
Oh, stop.
All right,
enough.
Guys.
Those are our kids you're talking about.
And we also do unwinds on our Patreon. We just keep the camera rolling for an extra like 20, 30 minutes. And it's like a extended version of the podcast. Again, that's on our Patreon if you want to check that out, which we're going to jump into right now. But we love you guys, and we'll see you next week.
We love you so much. Arigato.
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 Arigato. Arigato.